I begin this morning with a statement that I wonder if you agree with. Holiness is the forgotten attribute of God in the modern church. Holiness is the forgotten attribute of God in the modern church. And if I were to defend this point, I would put it this way. If you were to go to the average churchgoer in today's Christian world, I don't even mean necessarily in our circles, I just mean the average churchgoer in America today, and you were to ask them, what is God like? How many of them would respond, the first thing, oh, he's holy? I can tell you what most people, I think, would say. Check me on this if you think I'm wrong. Oh, God is love. Is he love? Yes, he is love. It says in the Bible, God is love. Others might say, well, God is good. Is God good? Of course he is. Others might say, God is gracious, or God is kind. God is wanting us to be like him. All these things you could identify as attributes of God. And yet, why is it in both the Old Testament and New Testament, when we are confronted with what people say when they see God purely for who he is, they talk about his holiness? Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah sees a vision of God himself. He says, I saw the Lord. He was in the temple. He was high and lifted up. And he said, around him were those seraphims, and they cried. These angelic beings, they saw God, and they said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. In the Hebraic language, repetition is critical. That's why it was not enough for them to say, holy is the Lord God, or even to say, holy, holy is the Lord God, but to say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. In Revelation, when the curtains of heaven are drawn back for us to get a peek into what our eternal future will be like, John, seeing this revelation that is before him, describes for us that the beasts, these wonderful creatures that surround God on his throne, these angelic beings, describe the character of God like this. They do not stop saying, holy, holy, holy. There is a sense in which the Bible expects us that when we think of God, holiness should be at the very top of that list of attributes, because from God's holiness spring everything else. Where does God's love come from? His holiness. Where does God's graciousness come from? His holiness. Where does God's wrath come from? His holiness. Where does his justice come from? His holiness. God is holy, and we must remember that. And that's why I wonder if not only is holiness the forgotten attribute of God in our modern church, but if you'd agree with me that holiness is the forgotten duty of the Christian in the modern church. Do we think much about being holy in the modern church? Do we think much about the holiness of God as it requires the holiness of man? In our reading today in 1 Peter 1, so wonderfully read by Johnny. Johnny, thank you for that. Listen to verse 15. Peter says, but as he which hath called you is holy, God has called you and he is holy, so be ye holy, you be holy in all manner of conversation. I think for most of you, I don't need to explain that conversation there does not mean your words. It means your conduct. It means your lifestyle. It means everything about the way you relate to life. Be holy, he is saying, in absolutely everything. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. The title of the message this morning is simply, Be Holy. Be Holy. as the command of God to the people that he has redeemed. But that leads, doesn't it, to a really important question. What does it mean to be holy? See, if I were to ask the average person today, or even the average churchgoer, what does it mean to be holy? Perhaps you or that person would have an idea of holiness that would be largely ritual or external. In a lot of Christian circles today, we think of holiness as being primarily about the way we present ourselves. By holiness as a kind of external holiness that is perhaps strange or odd or different, and we hear a call to be holy and we say, I don't want to be holy. That means I've got to be weird. Or we think of holiness as something that we can put on like a suit of clothes. When we think of the Pharisees in the New Testament, there was not a group of people in all of the New Testament that was more holy in a ritual sense, that was not more minding their P's and Q's when it came to every kind of external observance, and yet Jesus showed them how truly unholy they actually were. We need to understand what holiness is biblically if we are going to understand God's command to be holy. And so this morning, I want to answer that question. What is holiness, and how do we become holy? And to do so, I want to look at this historically, because Peter clearly is here. In this man who had been a previously observant Jew, a very devout Jew according to the law of the Old Testament, Peter is clearly thinking about holiness as it was revealed to God's Old Testament people. He says, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. What is he quoting? He's quoting multiple passages in our Old Testament when God says exactly that. Be ye holy, for I am holy. So first of all, we're going to look at the Old Testament concept of holiness. Secondly, we're going to look at the New Testament command toward holiness. And thirdly, we're going to fast forward to our day today and look at a 21st century calling of holiness. Let's start at the beginning. What does the Old Testament of our Bible say about holiness? When God says to his people in the Old Testament, be holy, for I am holy. Now we start with the very Hebrew word itself for holy, for being holy. That word itself depicts being set apart as special. It is something that is set aside, that is different from the things that are around it because it is special. If you have a set of china that is very valuable, you do not keep it with all your common everyday dishes. You put it apart in a very special place. We might say that in that sense, your china is holy. And we see this concept in our Old Testament of the Bible. Do you remember in Exodus chapter 20, the commandment of God to his people? Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. They may say, well, does that mean some kind of moral purity? Well, yes, in an extension. But what is the basic command of the Sabbath for the Old Testament people of God? What did he just say? 6 days you labor and you do all your work, but the seventh is a day that is holy. 6 days you work. 1 day is different. It's set apart. It's special. You rest. You see? 6 days common, 1 day special. It was holy. And that's why you see things in the Bible described as holy in our Old Testament. You see an altar that is described as holy. You see a priesthood that is defined as holy. You see holy bread. You see a most holy place. It is because these places, these things were special. They were set apart for a particular reason. And I came across that even this week as we were reading in our Old Testament reading in the book of Isaiah. And I invite you to turn with me to Isaiah chapter 23. Isaiah chapter 23, so you can see an example of this just basic fundamental idea of holiness. In chapter 23, God is pronouncing judgment against the people of Tyre. Tyre was a city in the kingdom of Phoenicia. It was in the general neighborhood of God's people in the Old Testament, and it was the shipping power of its day. It was an economic powerhouse. And so commerce is just synonymous with Tyre. Trade, marketplace, merchant ships. It's the idea of just this whole city of money and commerce and economy. God is pronouncing here his judgment on Tyre. And look at this in verse 17. And it shall come to pass after the end of 70 years that the Lord will visit Tyre, and she shall turn to her hire. Now listen to this. And shall commit fornication with all the kingdoms of the world upon the face of the earth. Literally, it's saying she will prostitute herself with all the kingdoms of the world. You say, is this referring to sexual immorality? No. It's just a picture of commerce. She will trade freely. She will return to her place of economic superiority. She will be a hub of economy, trading with all the kingdoms of the earth. Now listen to this. And her merchandise and her hire, her trade, shall be holiness to the Lord. You say, how can this kingdom that is personified by prostituting herself in an economic sense be holiness to God? Well, notice what comes next. It shall not be treasured nor laid up, for her merchandise shall be for them that dwell before the Lord to eat sufficiently and for durable clothing. Why would the economic hire, the trade of Tyre, be for holiness to God? Because it would be set apart for God's purpose. It would be set apart for the people of God to have sufficient clothing and to feed. In other words, in our Old Testament sense, anything can be holy if it is set apart for God's purpose. It is set apart as something unique and special. Now apply that to people. What does it mean for a person to be holy? Now let's turn to Exodus chapter 19. Turn to Exodus chapter 19, and we'll see what God says here to his Old Testament people. Notice what he says in verse number 3. Scripture says, "And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians." What did I do? I devastated them. I brought them to the very ground itself. "And how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar or a special treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation." You see what he's saying there? You will be to me a holy, set apart people. Now, why would they be holy? Notice what holiness here begins with. It begins with God setting the Old Testament people apart. You were in Egypt, you were in slavery, and you saw what I did. I destroyed your enemies, I brought you on eagle's wings, I took you to myself, you are my special people. So because I have set you apart to myself, I want you now to be set apart for myself. You will be a special holy nation to me. Why? By doing what? Notice what he says. If ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant. What does God say? I set you apart to myself so that you would be set apart for myself by obeying my voice and by doing what I say. Turn over now to Leviticus chapter 20. One book over from Exodus to Leviticus chapter 20. I want you to look at this idea of God's commandments to his people as he is bringing out this sexual and moral purity in this chapter, Leviticus chapter 20. He says in verse 22 of Leviticus chapter 20, ye shall therefore keep all my statutes and all my judgments and do them, that the land whither I bring you to dwell therein spew you not out. And ye shall not walk in the manners of the nation which I cast out before you. Don't be like them, for they committed all these things, and therefore I abhorred them. But I have said unto you, ye shall inherit the land, and I will give it unto you to possess it. A land that flows with milk and honey. I am the Lord your God. Now listen to this. Which have separated you from other people. I have set you apart. Ye shall therefore put difference between clean beasts and unclean, and between unclean fowls, birds, and clean. And ye shall not make your souls abominable by beast or by fowl or by any manner of living thing that creepeth on the ground, which I have separated from you as unclean. And ye shall be holy unto me, for I the Lord am holy, and have severed you from other people, that ye should be mine. You see, God has set you apart as special, so be set apart by obeying God's word and doing what he says. That's holiness. It starts with God's work and it ends with what he expects from you, to be like him in his holiness. That's the Old Testament concept of holiness for the people of God. And now I ask you this morning, what does it mean when the New Testament commands us, be ye holy, for I am holy? Well, let's go back to 1 Peter 1 and see if we can see the same concept of holiness that was in our Old Testament. And we are. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 1 again. And let's look at verse 14. Verse 14 says, as obedient children, we are to be as obedient children, not fashioning or molding ourselves according to the former lusts, the former desires in our ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy. Did you get that phrase? As he which hath called you. Let those words sink into your ears for a moment. As he which hath called you. Do you remember what God told his Old Testament people? I have separated you from everyone else, so be holy. I have severed you from the rest of the world. You are mine. You are my special people, so be holy. Do you hear what Peter is saying now? You Christian, you have been called. Now, this whole beginning of 1 Peter 1 is Peter bringing out the calling of the Christian. Go back to verse number 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us or born us again unto a lively or a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. He says in verse 2 that we who are called of Jesus Christ, we are elect, we are chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit. You see what he's saying? God has called you. He has severed you. He has separated you to be his own people. As he which hath called you is holy, be holy. We have to start with the fact that we have been set apart by God. We have been called. Then notice what he says. As he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation or lifestyle. We have been set apart by God. Therefore, we should be set apart for God. And this is not just an exhortation, friends, that happens here. We think of one of our famous passages, Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. Don't be conformed to this world. You remember that passage? Be transformed by the renewing of your minds. What does Paul exhort us there? You should present your bodies a living sacrifice. What's the next word? Holy. Holy. Acceptable unto God. Ephesians chapter 1. Paul is bringing out the mystery of the gospel, the wonderful work of the gospel. And I want you to listen to what he says about our calling as Christians. He says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us. What's that? God's calling. He has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. That's a calling. That is a wonderful choosing. He has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Why? That we should be holy and without blame, blameless before him in love. You see that? God has called you. He's chosen you. He's set you apart. Therefore, be set apart. Be holy. Be different, because God has called you for that very purpose. Now notice in what aspect of life he has called you to be holy. In every aspect, in every manner of lifestyle. It's as if God is saying this, I haven't chosen or purchased or redeemed half of you. I haven't chosen a quarter of your life. I have redeemed it all. And one day, my calling of you will be revealed in your full and complete and entire salvation eternally in my home, in a new heaven and a new earth. And because I have called all of you, and because I have chosen all of you, therefore be holy in everything. You remember in our Old Testaments of the our Old Testament when the minor prophets are looking ahead to this time when Jesus' kingdom will be everywhere on earth. He will be ruling entirely. And there's a wonderful passage, it says in Scripture, that the bells on the horses will be holiness to the Lord. The bells on the horses? What do you mean by that? He simply means this. Every single thing in earthly life will be separated for God's purpose, even the bells on the horses. The jingle bells will be sanctified to God. That tells you something about what God expects from you and from me. He says, all of you please, all of you please. There's a picture maybe in my mind, I wonder if it's in yours. It would be a wonderful thing. It would be as if over your computer screen on your laptop or on your tablet or on your smartphone, there were a tablet that you could never erase that said holiness to God. That's what all manner of lifestyle means. It means if you have a television or a newspaper or a radio, every time that television or radio or newspaper is turned on or is open, there's a big banner over it that says holiness to God. This is set apart for him. This is special to him. It means that every time I get into my car, right over the dashboard on the windshield says, holiness to God, set apart for his purpose. That means if I have a hobby, If I'm going out in a month to go deer hunting, or if I'm going to take up sewing, or I'm going to do some other aspect, I'm going to go play basketball or golf, or I'm going to play a particular board game or other thing that I like, every single time I go to do it, the label over it that I can never lose sight of is set apart to God, holiness to the Lord. That means every time I lay down my head on the pillow to go to sleep at night, as I'm drifting off to sleep, I look up at the ceiling and I see holiness to God. This sleep is set apart for His purpose. That means every time I open my mouth to communicate to another human being, every single word that comes out of my mouth has a label that I cannot forget. This word is set apart to God. Friends, what would it do to your life and to mine if I could live in that reality every day? Set apart to God, holiness to Him. There is no closet in my life that does not bear that label. There is no action, there is no thought, there is no word in which that label is not taking prominence in my life. Holiness to the Lord. You see, this is the exhortation to holiness. Be holy, God says, because I have set you apart as holy so that you would be set apart for me, so that ultimately you would be like me. As He which hath called you is holy, so be holy. Who's your standard? God Himself. You see, there are many ways in which you can never be holy like God. You can never have the holiness of God that will cause an angelic being to fall down before you and say, holy, 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 because that is only for God and for Him alone. It is only His set-apart nature that could cause a being to do that. But do you know you can be like God? You can be like God in His purity. You can be like God in His moral goodness. You say, that sounds impossible. Then why did He give you a spirit whose name is holy? If God didn't mean you to be holy like He is, why did He say, here is a spirit that is holy just like me, and He will enable you to live the Christian life like I want you to? You say, I could never live in such a way as if the words were coming that came out of my mouth were holiness to the Lord. Then run them by the Spirit of God and they will be. You say, I couldn't live in my workplace as if everything I do there is holiness to God. Then run it by the Spirit of God, and His holiness will be seen in what you do too. He's given you the Holy Spirit so that you would be holy. He's given you the Holy Spirit so that you would radiate the holy nature of Jesus Christ, who came to reveal who God was for holiness in human form. He came so that we would be holy and without blame before Him in love. So the Old Testament concept, friends, of holiness is that you would be set apart for God because you were set apart by God. The New Testament command to holiness is the exact same logic. He has called you. He has set you apart. He has made you His special person, His special child. Therefore, like an obedient child, like someone who's going to listen to his dad and imitate his dad and try to be like his dad, so you are going to be obedient to your calling to be set apart and make every aspect of your life holiness to God. And that's why, thirdly, we need to see a 21st century calling for every single one of us. It's simply this. Be holy. Be holy, Christian. Now, there is a common phrase or message to those who talk about holiness sometimes. It is to bemoan how unholy our world is. It says, oh, we're all, this world is going down around us so quickly. We really need to be holy. Well, we do really need to be holy. But friends, do you know what? The world that Peter was living in was a pretty unholy place too. The world that every Christian has inhabited ultimately is a really significantly holy place, unholy place. And that's why we're called to be different. We're called to be set apart. And I want to just raise three, I think, applications that have stood out to me for our 21st century calling as Christians in this world. The first is this, very simply, don't be ashamed of being holy. Don't be ashamed. You know, there's a sense I get from Christians, and I think oftentimes it's young people, but it's not just young people, it can be any of us. It's to view a calling that we have as holiness as something to be embarrassed about. As if someone says, where were you today? I was at church. What were you doing? It's as if when we dress a little bit differently than the world does because we have a different calling in life, it's like we need to be ashamed, excuse it away. It's like if someone says, why didn't you come to the happy hour? Or why don't we ever see you out partying like we used to? As if we need to say, oh, I just don't, that's not really my favorite thing. You know, kind of not my best look. Why do we feel the need to be ashamed? Maybe if I could explain it to you this way. One thing that we've seen in recent days about being truly set apart are our professional sports teams. Many of the professional sports leagues are in their playoffs right now. And do you know what those professional sports teams have needed to do? They've needed to go into the bubble. The bubble. They have to be completely isolated to try to hold off COVID from spreading. And these millionaires, multimillionaires, go into a complex where they can't go out and get food. They have to stay inside their hotels, inside their complexes, only surrounded in a bubble. They are completely isolated, completely set apart and cut off. Now, let me ask you this. Do you think any of them are ashamed about that? Do you think if LeBron James's friend called him up and said, hey, LeBron, I haven't seen you around recently. Where have you been? Oh, you know, I've been around here and there. What about you? Why wouldn't an NBA player be ashamed to be in the bubble? Because he's got a really cool purpose to be in the bubble. Because he says, you know what I'm doing? We made the playoffs, and we're playing for a championship. And so you know what? I'm just fine to be in the bubble because I've got a different calling. I've got a different calling than my friends who aren't playing for NBA championships. You'd be like someone being in the military and being chosen to be in a place of extreme importance, to chosen to be a Navy SEAL or chosen to be in an honor guard or chosen to be something else, coming with it different standards, different kinds of requirements, different obligations, and that person saying, oh, I'm embarrassed. I don't want anyone to know that I've got a different way to live. It'd be like if you graduated from high school or college, maybe some of you graduated and you had a different ribbon on you. It signified that you were cum laude or magna cum laude or summa cum laude, or maybe there was something to distinguish you were on the honor roll. It would be as if when someone at their graduation put on that special sash or that special ribbon, they were ashamed. They wanted to hide it. You say, that doesn't make sense. And for the Christian, when we recognize that we have been chosen, we have been called, we have been set apart by God for the most wonderful thing in the entire universe, He has called us to be His child and live in the glory of His presence for eternity. Why would we be ashamed to say, yes, He has called me and set me apart as different? Why would we shrink away from that calling instead of saying, you know what? I believe that God has called me to the greatest honor that any human being could ever experience. And I'm going to live that as a badge of honor, not a mark of shame. I'm convinced that one of the greatest reasons we don't live and we don't pursue holiness is because simply we don't treasure our calling in God like we need to. We just don't understand how special it is that God has set us apart for Himself. That gratitude and that humility should cause us to say, God, whatever you want me to do by way of holiness, by obedience, by listening to your word and keeping it in every area of life, I will do it joyfully and gladly. Do not be ashamed of a need for holiness. The second thing is this. Watch out for something. Watch out for something. Notice what he says here in verse number 14. He says, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy. Now, what's he saying here? He's saying, do you know what your enemy is, Christian? Do you know what your enemy to holiness is? Yourself. Now, a lot of times we think our greatest enemy to holiness is the world, is our coworkers or our friends or those around us. Now, don't worry. The world is an enemy to grace as well. We should recognize that. But do you know what Peter wants to really signal out here? Yourself. We have, he says, these desires that we used to gratify, these things that we used to pursue, these works of the flesh that we'll be identifying a little bit more tonight. He said, don't let them conform you to their mold. You've got a different mold. It's as if he's saying this. You've been set apart by God for God. Don't be set apart for yourself. Don't live for yourself. Don't live for your own desires. Don't live for your own fleshly lusts. And every day, friends, we need to see that our internal desires are what will cause us to view our lifestyle as being about us. Our bank account as being about us, not set apart for God's purpose. Our computer screen, our smartphone, our hobby, our workplace, not set apart for God. Set apart for us and what we desire. Oh, friends, we need to be so, so cautious. We need to be so careful that as we wake up morning by morning seeking to have holiness to God written over each act of our life, to be watching out for our enemy, those desires that will be seeking to conform us to our own purposes instead of God's. One final thing. Not only should we not be ashamed to be holy, not only must we guard against our own desires to be holy, but finally, we have to have the right perspective to be holy. To this, we go back to verse number 13. This is the context here. Peter says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end. The idea of that is hope completely, hope perfectly, hope fully. Set your entire hope for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ as obedient children. Be holy. What's he saying? He's saying in your life here, fix your mind and fix your hope on what is coming when Jesus returns. And because of that, be holy. Do you see what he's saying? Jesus is coming again, and you're going to see him soon. You're going to see him any moment, either because your life here on earth ends or because he's going to come back, perhaps even before the end of this service. You're going to see him. What greater motivation could we have, friends, than to be purifying ourselves right now, to be set apart completely for his cause? John makes this first connection, the same connection in 1 John 3. He says, every single one of us that has the hope of seeing Jesus Christ purifies himself even as he is pure. Every single one. I saw a little taste of this yesterday. Tabitha had a little girls' morning out having a good time with Sarah and with Lydia. And so the kids and I were at home and we wanted to get some stuff done around the house to surprise her. And I knew roughly when she was coming home. And you know, when she was, that time was getting near, there was still that kind of sense of urgency with the kids. I said, guys, mom's going to be home. We have to surprise her. Make sure, clean up that. Oh, there's a toy there. Pick that up. Oh, why don't you make sure this thing's put away right over here? She's coming any minute. You've all been there before in some way or other, haven't you? That's what I'm talking about. I mean the sense that Jesus is coming any minute, and so I need to be picking up. I need to be cleaning up my life. I need to be living a set-apart, holy life to him, because the next thing I know, I'm going to be seeing him. In other words, friends, if you want to be holy, it requires two things. It requires looking back and seeing God's calling of you and Him setting you apart as special for Himself. And it requires looking ahead to Jesus coming back to complete the work that He started in you when He called you. And between that backwards look and that forwards look will be today me living a set apart, holy life for God. Well, friends, I hope for you the attribute of God's holiness is not a forgotten attribute for you. I hope you live day by day in the reality that there is a holy God that you serve. And just as much, I hope that the duty of holiness is not a forgotten duty in your life, but rather that all of us around this church and in our homes and wherever God has called us would see that banner of holiness to the Lord, set apart by God, so that we would be set apart for God, ultimately to be set apart with God for all of eternity. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank You that You indeed are holy. And Father, may we know Your holiness in a new and special way this week. Let's pause for a moment with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, however God is speaking to us by His Holy Spirit. Perhaps you recognize that you do not have any holiness before a holy God because Jesus Christ has not become your holiness. His holiness is not yours. Your sins have not been forgiven. Friend, how do you expect to stand before a holy God with your unholiness? Won't you come to Jesus today and accept His holiness? Won't you come to Him and accept His sacrifice on the cross? Won't you accept Him as your Savior and Lord today? Be holy, for I am holy. Father, may it be true for each of us today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.